Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled, How to Engage and Connect for Greater Profits. So, here is a simple but powerful rule. Always give people more than they expect to get, said Nelson Boswell. Have you ever noticed that a lot of the writing in your niche is actually fairly boring? Or not in the least bit helpful? Well, actually, that's good news for you because everyone else in your niche is creating dry, mediocre content. Then you'll stand out if you create something entertaining, educational, and enriching. And if you really connect with your audience, you can bet they'll want to read every word you publish. And over time, consider you a trusted resource. And once that happens, you have a bona fide fan base. That was exactly what happened to me almost 6 years ago when I started working. I noticed that the market was so underserved. All the other newsletters and products were tedious and, quite frankly, not practical. So how did I create this connection between words and the heart and souls of the audience? Well, just like this. First things first, you tell stories, because what happens is people relate to stories. So if you know how to tell stories, then and there's something in there that your reader engages in, then they will be connected to you. Stories are good ways to connect with your readers because a story tends to help you form the emotional connection. It helps the reader identify with you. And a story is much more memorable than simply telling a reader what to do. Okay, and just like a professional speaker needs to tell stories to connect with their audience, so do writers need to tell a story because it humanizes you. It gets people down to feeling your emotion, who you are, and where you come from. You can write this story either about you or someone else. Either way, however, the story will be more impactful if the main character is very similar to your readers. So, if your readers are moms who are looking for an opportunity to make incremental money or money from home, then you'll connect to those readers if your story is about a real mom who overcame the same problem. Another thing a story can do is help demonstrate that your readers, that you really understand them and their problems. And when a reader feels like the author understands him, you can bet they will keep reading. Okay. So, we are talking about connecting with your audience, your niche, the people you want to serve. You can do it through articles. You can do it through a podcast like I'm doing. You can even do it, in essence, from the pulpit, not as a preacher, which that also works, but as a professional speaker, because you know what? Your voice draws them in by how you use it, by your body language. If you ever watch a good actor, they don't always have to use their voice or words to convey a message. They can do it through a body movement. They can do it through their facial expressions. There's just so many ways that you can connect with your audience to bring them in to where you are and get them to where you want them to be. So, create reader-oriented writing. Your readers have no doubt read plenty of articles, reports, or ebooks on the same topic as the one you're writing about. However, a lot of the content is author-oriented. That means that it seems to be more about the author rather than the readers. Example, you might read a book about dog training in which the author seems to boast repeatedly about his credentials or delve into personal stories that actually aren't of interest or relevant to the reader. One way to quickly check if your writing is author-oriented is to see how many times you've used words like I or me versus how often you use words like you and yours. You want to use more you writing since this is reader-oriented writing. So, here's a great example. Author-oriented writing, I'm going to tell you about how I lost weight. Reader-oriented, you're going to discover a weight loss trick that's worked for me, and it will work for you too. And I'm going to back up here before I go on, and I'm going to tell you a little story that what I do is I help small to medium-sized companies put together a mission or a purpose for their business. And we sit down and we write out a plan of and figure out where they are now and where they want to take their business and hold them accountable to do that. And we are also in the midst of a presidential election. And you hear a lot of talk about the job market and where it's gone. And the problem is, it's not that the jobs are gone as much as where you find the jobs. Because we have moved from, if you look back to the beginning of the 20th century, you saw many immigrants who came to this country. And if you listen to Trump, you wouldn't have half of those immigrants today. But what you had were people who brought their skills and their business techniques with them. And if you remember Fiddler on the Roof, when he used to take his milk and go from home to sell the milk. Today, when they came to this country, instead of going from home to home, what did they do? They got push carts, and they would set up their push carts, and they would sell their wares. And I often would hear the stories that my mother would tell about her family, or my father would tell, and my grandfather, or my father's father, what he did was he sold the fruit from the push carts on the street corners. And my mother's father, when their family came to this country, they opened up a grocery store. And The thing about that grocery store is it's a landmark today because it's now known as the Crystal Beer Parlor, which is a restaurant that has been written about, that if you go in there, they even have the story of how the location, who owned it before, and they even have pictures of some of my ancestors who worked there at one time before the new owner bought the place. But the idea is that this was the first generation. This is what they did. And their children were the first generation born in this country. And for many of them, what they did was during World War II, because the country had given them so much, they wanted to give back. And so what did they do? They went to fight for their country. And then when they came home, many of them started going to work for the corporations. And that was right at the time that you saw all these companies beginning to grow. So they worked their way up into management level positions. And I had a friend that her father worked for a trunking company, and he worked his way up into management. And then after 25 years, many of them would get the retirement party and the gold watch. And at that time, you had Social Security, and you expected to live comfortably. The next generation, the generation known as the baby boomer generation that was born between 1946 and 1964, when they followed their parents into the corporation, there was always an unwritten contract that you had a job for life. Therefore, if you remember back in the 80s and the 90s when companies were merging and they had two to three people working every job, you started seeing a lot of buyout packages because what they were doing was buying out their contracts. And part of their severance was to keep their health insurance or to get a package of so many months of pay to give them an opportunity to go out and find another job or create their own opportunities. That was also the time in the 90s of the dot-com era and the Y2K era, so that you saw a lot of people basically going out, starting their own business, in essence, inflated prices. And the millennials, which is the group that was born from 1984 on, they grew up with the internet. So what happens is that beyond the baby boomer generation, Generation X, Generation Y, no one has a guaranteed job today. What we're seeing is that we've gone back to the small businessman only. Where are we working today? From home on the internet. And the whole thing is that we're creating new jobs. You're a game developer, you're an app developer, you're a blogger. I mean, these are titles that you didn't hear of 15 years ago, but are titles that are used today to describe what someone does. And if you watch some of the TV shows, some of those people have become celebrities just by going on YouTube and putting up a video. So, engage the audience. If you're writing a how-to article, then it's easy to fall into the familiar pattern of writing straightforward article. That is step one. This is step two. And basically, it's the same kind of article everyone else publishes. Instead, engage your audience by freshening up the writing. This includes adding in your own tricks in particular include unique tips and tricks not found anyone else. Using stories to illustrate points, be sure to engage all five of your reader's senses to really bring them into your story, inserting examples to make things more clear. Just look at the way I gave an example of reader versus author-oriented writing above, including spiced up writing. For example, instead of merely describing someone as nervous, you could say he was more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. That's much more memorable, impactful, and fun, don't you think? You're writing with a purpose, whether it's to pre-sell your readers, teach them something, solve a problem, or overcome a challenge, or just develop a good relationship with them. However, these goals are not possible if your writing doesn't engage and connect with your audience. So, we've been talking about writing and connecting with your audience, but it really does not matter what product you have or what you're doing. Everything you do today has to connect with your audience. So when you are thinking about all the things that you could do to help your business, then you want to look for ways to connect with that audience. So let's look at it this way. You have to look for opportunities. You have to look for ways to create a connection. And what I want to do is talk a little bit about social media, because today, how does something go viral? You know, there's a new game app coming out that allows its users to interact with the with their college or their pro football team while the game is on. Why is that going to go viral? Because you have people who enjoy watching the Super Bowl, who enjoy watching their college teams, and many of them want to be able to interact with the game as it's going on and create a what happened with fantasy football? That has been very successful. And think about it. The mobile gaming industry is another industry that is coming up and growing. And why is that? Because today, everyone has a smartphone, or the majority of the millennials, and anything beyond or above, say 70 and 80 and above, they're most likely, because they're just used to basic stuff, just want a phone. Anyone who's still working or interacting, they have found that by having the smartphone, today there's no such thing as a 9-to-5 job. You can be working on the weekend. You can be working from home. Your computer can be hooked up to the mainframe of your company. And your cell phone, your smartphone, also becomes a little mini computer that you use to keep in touch with what's happening. Or today, so many companies are starting up every day. The difference is that There's no such thing as you go into an office and work, or you go in and you create. You could be working in one city and living in a different city. I met someone a few years ago in the apartment complex where I was living, that they moved to Atlanta because his wife was working for a company that she had to work in the office. But he did IT. So all he had to do was go on the computer, hook up into the mainframe of the company that he was working for, and continue to work. So you can see that the way business is conducted today, and so many companies that get started, what they are doing is, instead of creating a product and selling it through a retail business, what they are doing is selling it through word of mouth advertising. Because if I'm a customer and I mention it to someone else and they buy it, and I have a replicating website, then guess what? I earn the commission. But if they sell it in a retail store and you actually suggest to someone that they go and buy something, then the person who makes the money is the retail store, and they thank you for referring the business. So it's a very different world that we live in today when it comes to how business is done. We are truly a global environment. And whether we want to believe it or not, NAFTA, in its day of when it was written, you had, and I know that everyone wants to blame that particular agreement for what's happening with the job market, but the job market changed, because back in the 1920s and the 30s, there was no regulation that covered employees in the workplace. So the unions became the way of representing the workers and making sure that the environment that they worked in was healthy and not detrimental to their health, or that the machines were kept up to par, because otherwise there could be accidents and they could end up not being able to work for months at a time. And today, you've got laws on the books that regulate how those same things, so that companies cannot get away with creating a hothouse environment. So that what happens is that today, and also the types of jobs that are being phoned out to foreign countries, the unions, in demanding that certain prices, that they keep going up, what they've done is overprice the job market. And what happens is, when a company has to pay more to the employee, then they're going to increase the price to the consumer for the product so that they get their margins. Now, if I have a company and I do it and I sell my product through a replicating website, then the majority of the income is going to my distributor for helping me market and sell a product. And there is no middleman that takes away from me, from the profit that I'm getting. And we can share and we can keep our profits up by increasing the number of people that we talk to. That's why network marketing or affiliate marketing or distributor marketing works in today's marketplace, because what you're doing is just marketing and selling what's already out there. And it's not, so that what we need to understand is how the job market has truly changed. You cannot expect that when you're talking about illegal immigrants, that many of them are doing the jobs that no one else wants to do. And let me back this up to when I'm writing a story and I want to relate to someone, then by telling them the story about how the job market has changed, how it has affected everyone, where they can find the opportunity to create an income for themselves outside of going to that 9-to-5 job, because entertainers do not, they're basically self-employed. Back in the early part of the 20th century, many of them worked for the studios, and they worked for salaries. Well, now, unless you're on a soap opera or you're on a primetime show, you are really marketing yourself to find that next job. And only on soaps can you always guarantee yourself, if you're willing to stay, a job, unless for some reason your character or they decide to get rid of your character. But there are so many ways. The idea is what you want to do is engage and connect with your potential customer, because when you do that, then you have the potential to increase your income and have a bigger opportunity to reach your audience. And why writing is important, because writing articles are things that people constantly look for to read, especially on a subject when they want to learn more. And you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com. And you can sign up for either individual or group coaching, and we can sit down with you and help you put together the marketing plan and put together a strategy for building your business and taking it to the next level.